that I have preached before, but I just want to name these things off to you. And don't you listen to me. Everybody listen. What I'm saying is true. 1 Timothy 4 tells us a little bit about the last days. And it said, now the Spirit, capital S, that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaketh expressly, emphatically, or absolutely. It don't just say it, man. He says it with emphasis, expressly. That in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, little s, that's wicked spirits, and doctrines of devils, little d. That's not the devil, that's little devils, or what we know as demons. Demons. The word demon is not in the King James Bible. Correctly so. It's not supposed to be. The Bible calls them devils, and that's the correct word for them. We just say demons because that's the word of our time. But really the best word is devils. He was possessed of devils. And the reason you know that is because in the old days, a demon could be just a spirit, could be a good or a bad thing, but a devil's never a good thing. So the King James always has it right when it says devils, doctrines of devils. It's a stronger word, always evil, whereas the word demon can be interpreted as a good or a bad spirit. And so the Bible said in the last days, there's just going to be an overwhelming amount of seducing spirits. And these spirits are going to come around. Spirits, something you can't see, and seduce people. Trick them. Put things in people's head. Now, I believe 1,000 years ago, the battle against Christians was on their body. You listening to me? 1,000 years ago, the battle of Christians was on their mind. They had their self. They knew Jesus was real. They knew the Bible was true. Bless the Lord. Buddy, they stood faithful, and they burned them at the stake. They tied them up in sacks of rattlesnakes. They jerked their fingernails off and bust their fingers in jail to torture them, try to get them to deny the Lord. But their faith was strong inside, and they stayed faithful. Some of them probably did recant and renounce their faith. But many of the thousands you read about in Fox's Book of Martyrs stayed faithful to God. The battle was on the body. It's not that way now. You know what the battle is in the 90s? You know what the battle is in this century, right before the end of this millennium? It's on the mind. The devil's getting us through our mind, people. There was no internet 1,000 years ago. There was no television. There was no telephone. There was no radio. There was no flashy magazines. There was no signs on the road. There was no... People weren't in touch with the world like we are now. Years ago, people grow up, live on the farm, and live there all their life and never even see a city or what went on in bars. You know, every kid in America now, even if they've never been in a bar, know what a bar looks like and know what goes on in a bar. Because the bar is brought right in our living room through our television set. Now, the battle is on our mind today. And I'm going to give you just a little outline of what I call the countdown. I locked my clock here tonight, and it's counting down. 2 minutes, 41, 40, 39, 38, 37. Every minute you live this year, 99, that thing's going to be clicking. Every minute you're asleep, that thing's going to be clicking. You will not cause this clock to stop. The countdown for God's astronauts. That's me and you. Let's think about it. An astronaut is someone who probes through the cosmos into the presence of a star. The word astro means star, and that's where it comes from. It's one who's past the gravitational pull of the earth and goes into outer space. That's what an astronaut is. Now, somebody said the first astronaut was in 1959 or 60, whatever it was, along in there. That's not true. There's at least 3 astronauts in the Bible before there was ever a Sputnik or a spaceship, or Kennedy Space Center, or center anywhere like that. There was at least 3 in the Bible. There was, of course, in the Word of God, Elijah, in 2 Kings 2:11, who went up to heaven in a chariot of fire. There was Enoch in Genesis 5:24, who was called up to meet God and was translated that he should not see death. There was Paul in 2 Corinthians 2:12. And then, of course, there was the Lord Jesus Christ, who was standing there one day and said, I'll be back to get you. And went straight up into the presence of God. Those were all astronauts before there ever was a space capsule. Now, I want to tell you something else, brother. As we were singing a while ago, all of us people in here tonight that are saved are going to be an astronaut one day. Earth's going to lose its pull on our body. The world's going to finally let go of us, and we'll zoom out to meet the Lord. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. There's no doubt in my mind tonight that if the trumpet sounded tonight, I'd go with him. How about you? Are you sure? Are you ready to go? We're in 1999, people. I mean, this is it. This is the jumping off place. We're at the end of the sixth millennium. Time is running out. The clock is ticking. Some of you have been waiting to get right with God for a long time. If I was you tonight and I wasn't right with God, I'd get right out of that seat tonight. I'd be down this altar. I'd say, boys, pray for me. I want to get my heart right with God. I told somebody the other day, who was somebody up in West Virginia, my uncle, I was trying to witness to him, and they said he's in some kind of sin that was holding back. I said, son, there ain't nothing worth going to hell for. There ain't nothing worth being left behind for. There ain't no liquor bottle. There ain't no amount of money. There ain't no boyfriend, girlfriend, car, job, house, plan. There ain't no drug. There ain't no alcohol worth missing out on this trip when we blast off into outer space to meet the Lord. Get ready and go with us. We'll do you good. That's what the Bible said in the Old Testament. If you're here tonight and you're not ready to go with us, why don't you get ready? Why don't you get ready? God might have let it snow and keep the crowd down just so you could get right with God here in this service tonight. God don't make no mistakes. God knew that snow was going to sleet us, whatever in the world that was, falling last night. God knew it was coming, and God let it happen for somebody in this church to get right with God here tonight, and I hope that you'll do that. Amen? You say, well, preacher, how far are we? Well, let's give them a countdown. You know, I used to watch them. I don't ever watch them no more, but when I was little, every time they'd shoot a rocket up, we'd want to watch it on TV. They said, they're going to the moon, young'uns. Come on in here, look. We'd have that rocket there, and they'd say, T-minus, ever how many hours or whatever, and they'd keep getting down. We didn't pay much attention to it until it got down the last couple of minutes. And it got down the last couple of minutes, and they'd say, get in the house! Get in here! They're getting ready to go! And boy, we got interested then. And we'd be sitting down on the edge of our seat, 57, 56, 54. And these guys would be talking, they can invent all these things and can't make a radio. You can understand, people. Ain't that something? And boy, I tell you what, I mean, they was talking back and forth. And boy, you know, Kennedy Space, Cape Canaveral, this is Houston. We have the UFO under surveillance. Well, they said that, but they wouldn't let you hear it. And you know what? Buddy, I tell you what, buddy, I mean, it was going down. 30, 29, 28, 27. 26, we'd be sitting on the edge of our seat. And boy, I'll tell you, from 10, when it got to 10, we'd hold our breath. I mean, so there, 9, 8, 7, 5, 4, 3, smoke start coming out from that thing. And boy, I'll tell you, all that jet power and rocket pie fuel begin to burn. Lord have mercy. I mean, you could fairly see the ground shake almost. Sometimes the little cameramen, you could see the ground would shake, the cameras or something. Or the picture would start doing like this. And boy, it said, 1-0. That thing would go, man, what a sight. Lord have mercy, what a thrill. Everybody thought, there it goes. This we have liftoff. I want to say tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I believe up in heaven, maybe God probably got one of these things. And he's got it down there. And he's got the rapture of the church, the blast off that God does tonight. And he's got one of those. And it says something like this. 362 days, 3 hours, 57 minutes and 2 seconds. And everybody's running around. The Lord won't let everybody look at it because he's the only one that knows. How long is it, Lord? And the Lord says, I ain't going to tell you. It ain't going to be long. I ain't going to run around. And it's going to come down to about 10. It may not be 362 days. But finally the Lord's going to say, all right, Jesus, get your shoes on. Get ready. And Lord Jesus will look at God the Father. He said, is it about time to go get my bride, my children that's been suffered and persecuted? Thank God. Can I go get them? And the Lord said, you better stand up. 3, 2, 1, bam! And brother, when he says that, we're going to leave. I can't. I mean, our body will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And we'll go see the Lord Jesus Christ. We're getting ready to blast off. It's 1999. It ain't no time to quit. It ain't no time to fall out of church. It ain't no time to quit praying. It ain't no time to quit reading the Bible. It's a time to get in. Get your family in. Pay your bills. Get right with your neighbor. If you got sin in your heart, get it out. Be ready to meet the Lord. Amen. He's coming. You said, I've heard that all my life. Yeah, and you know what that means? That means he's coming that much quicker. Because the Lord said, right before he come back, that people was going to be saying that. He said, right before he come back, people's going to be saying, oh, I've heard mama said that when I was a little kid. Don't tell me that stuff. I've heard that. He said, when you hear him say that, you better get ready. You better get ready. Y'all hearing me? You better get ready. I'm going to give you the countdown. 5. Travel and knowledge. Take your Bible and turn to Daniel chapter 12. Let me show you something. Daniel chapter 12. 5. The angel says up in heaven. As we get ready for blast off. Daniel chapter number 12 and verse number 4. We see here in the Word of God, in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4, the Lord told Daniel, he said, I'm going to show you what it's going to be in the last days, right before I come back. And he tells Daniel a sign here. And he said in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. That's the book of Daniel. How long? Even to the time of the end. What is that time? Lord, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. That's sign number 1 or 5 on the countdown. The increase of knowledge. Lord, have mercy. Has that happened or what? Do you realize that only 75 years ago, most people didn't have automobile? Hardly nobody had a television set. Hardly nobody had air conditioning. There was no such thing as a computer. I said 75 years ago. I can almost remember that. Amen. I remember when I first started running in place that had air conditioning. I remember what grocery store like froze to death. And when I thought it was barefoot, we never wore shoes. I don't pair of shorts. And I went to grocery store. I thought, good night, they left the freezer open. Well, something in here, this feels awful. Finally, somebody said, that's air conditioning. Nobody had it in the house. Nobody had it in the school. When we were in Nebo school, we didn't wear air conditioning. They didn't let school out when it got hot. We go out and play ball for solid air. Come in there and sweat just pouring down there. Sit right there in class. Well, it wasn't no use getting this just, well, that school out is just as hot at home as it was at school. You couldn't get away from it. Hey, 75 years ago, I said just 75 years ago. That means in 1800, 1700, 16, 15, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 8, 9, 8, whatever's next after that. They didn't have nothing like that. They didn't have all these modern conveniences. They didn't have microwave ovens. They didn't have... I remember when my sisters first started eating pizza, I said, gag. I've always been late coming on. I never put a bite of pizza in my mouth till I was about 20 years old. I hated it. I had to make, they put them things in the oven. I'd come in the house and say, phew! What is that? And all it was cheese and pepperoni pizza. That's all it was. And I said, that's the stinkingest mess I ever smelt in my life. Wasn't a pizza hut. They just had pizza. And I said, shoo, that stuff stinks. What is that? They said, here, Danny, you want? I said, I wouldn't eat that. But no, I said, that looks like when somebody's wrecked a bicycle and you took a scab off their knee right there. All it looks like is scabs and pus. That's what it looked like. I said, Lord, I wouldn't eat that for nothing. And you know, it still looked like it to me. If you really want to see them girls make a fine money, go up to Hardee's tonight after service, win and say, I want a scab sandwich and a glass of pus. and see what, boy, they'll die. They'll die. We've done that before. Don't do it in Marion. But you know what? Listen, buddy, that knowledge has increased. Knowledge has increased. Now all the cars got air conditioning. Can you believe that? I mean, who would have thought that you could have took a dinner out of the freezer and put it in a little bitty oven and punched a button, and in 2 minutes the thing would be hot enough to eat. Turkey, gravy, I mean, all mashed potatoes. You say, oh, Brother Danny, that's no big deal. You just don't realize, some new kids, how much this world's changed in the last 100 years. It's been a knowledge revolution. And did you know now the computers you buy now, by the time you get them home and out of the box and paid for, they're obsolete, and they've done come out with something so far advanced that you can't even keep up with. But don't try to sell me one. I'm going to wait till they reach the top and then get one. We'll be in heaven before then. They keep coming out stuff. They got the first computer they say was nearly as big as this church auditorium. Nearly as big as this auditorium. And now they got them that can calculate a trillion or a billion, something like that, bits of information per second. And they got them something that can fit up under your skin, little in that watch right there. And it can hold billions of bits of information. They can put a rocket ship on the moon in 1969. God allowed a man's foot to step on the moon. And better we see the musical world, the athletic world, everything has changed, everything is different. And the angel said, that is the fulfillment of Daniel's prophecy. Going down. Countdown's going down. Sure it is. It's going down. There wasn't no such thing as automobiles last century. Wasn't no such thing. To the turn of the century. My daddy, of course, you know, up there where he's from, they was a little behind, still are, but he said he remembered the first television he ever seen. And then somebody had it in a bar up the street from where he lived. And he said his brother come in running down there one day like a wild man and said, come up here, fellas, there's a blankety blank radio up there you can see the people on. That's what he said. And he said they all went up there and just stared at that thing. That ain't been 75 years ago, people. Amen? Knowledge shall increase. Where are we at? You know where we're at now? The more knowledge we gain, the more wicked we get. Amen? You know where we're at now? Did you hear on the radio, all you people don't believe Jesus is coming back soon? You hear on the radio yesterday that a place in Ohio was going to declare 1999 the year of the Bible and honor the Bible because the great place in the history of this nation that it's had. And immediately the ACLU went to work and filed a suit and threatened to sue them. And the mayor backed down and said, okay, we're canceling the year of the Bible. And the ACLU come on and said it was a great victory for the First Amendment rights in our Constitution. That just happened this week. Listen, when we were growing up, we heard people make jokes about homosexuality. It was a joke. I never thought I'd really see one. Especially on television, especially being popular, especially an idol, especially making millions of dollars. And they got this thing now called RuPaul. I don't know what it is. His legs look like two telephone poles. I mean, they're this high, leg drop. And then on up there, it ain't black, it ain't white, it ain't man, it ain't woman, it ain't queer, it ain't straight. It's just some kind of a monster, some kind of a hybrid. And the Bible says there were giants in the earth in those days. And we're making the same thing now. And we're seeing the Scripture fulfilled
open and more said, buddy, I tell you something down in my soul is filled. Something in me says, hey, I may not get to all this message, but I just want to tell you what's on my heart. Something in me says, glory to God. Something in me says, ride back and give it another good look, Danny. Something in me says, get you a full tank of gas and put the pedal in the middle and let her rip. For Jesus is coming back. We might get to see the rapture. Glory to God this year. Hey, God didn't let D.L. Moody live in this generation. God didn't let Fanny Crosby and Whitfield and all them people live in this generation. He let me and you. We are the generation. We're it. We're the ones God chose to see the world in 1999. The devil's done everything he can to take us out. The devil pointed every gun. He's still got them pointed at us too. He's got them pointed at me. He's got them pointed at you. But you know what? We was up here the other night, and I got to thinking, them old men of God, Moody and Spurgeon, they all preached about these days. They all preached about these times that you and I are living in. Wake up, Christians! Get your nose out of the dirt! Get your eyes open! Quit setting it off, watching that boob tube and wasting your life! Get on visitation! We need some souls! Shout! Sing in the choir! We're on that bus ministry! We're running out of time, Jesus. You say, well, preacher, I just don't have... Do it anyway. Do it anyway. We ain't got time to wait on you to feel like it. Amen. Hourglass has turned up. Some of you people got your feelings hurt 10 years ago in church and ain't done nothing for God since. You need to get up and get over it. Get over it! Get over it! And get busy for God. Come up here the other night. Boys was preaching. Brother Brian got up and preached. And he preached a message and he called it Press On. And boy, it was real. I was sitting right over here, and it kept saying, press on, press on, press on. And I thought, amen, thank God, that's exactly what we ought to do. Through the fog, through the cold, through the persecution. Hey, let them cuss us, let them cuss us, let them cuss us, let them cuss us. Let the whole town cuss us, if that's what we want to do. Press on, keep preaching, keep singing, keep praying, keep shouting. Press on, church. Press on, church. Don't let them put our fire out. Let's be ready to wrap this thing up. And he said, press on, press on. Something in me said, amen, that's exactly what I want to do. Next day, I went home, slept a while, Saturday morning, got up, and usually I'll turn on some preaching tape or singing or something while I'm taking a shower, getting ready. And I was going to take a shower, turn the radio on, and there's a preacher on there. And the preacher preached on, press on. That's right, that's the truth. I just went home, went to bed, got up, turned it on, and he said, we ought to press on. Press on. I said, Lord, are you trying to tell me something?
Come on.
Amen. I said, God, are you really talking to me?
Amen.
Boy, I love it when he talks to me.
Yeah,
I love it when he just says a little something just to let me know that he ain't forgotten me. Just to let me know that I still belong to him.
Yeah.
Buddy, I needed it too. I needed it. Because the devil jumped on me with 4 feet.
Yeah.
And the devil will tell you how sorry you are. And you'll say, you're right. But the devil only tells you how sorry you are. He don't ever tell you how good that blood is.
Yeah.
And that preacher said, press on. Press on. And that's what we need to do. You know where your battle's at now? On your mind. It's on your mind. You're going to really feel this year. You're going to feel like you should quit going to church. You know what one lady told me? She said, if I go to church, she said, all I do is sit there and I look at everybody and I think about what that one said and what that one said. And just, I think I'd be better off to stay at home. You know what that is telling her that? Seducing spirit. That's a seducing spirit. That ain't the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost don't sit there and make you look around at everybody and pick out their fault and then tell you to stay at home. You know why? Because the Holy Ghost said that we should get together even so much the more. I thought about that today too. I thought we might ought to start having church more often. Well, it's going to take it in the day where if you really want to stay out with God, it's going to take more than this one day a week stuff. You're going, if you really want to stay close to God and right with God, some of, you know what I believe? I believe that God just might be wanting to do a mighty work just through them Friday night prayer meetings. Some of our men's been coming that never have been in a prayer meeting. Old Benny come walking in here the other night. Raise your hand over Ben. Old Ben come walking in here the other night about 12 o'clock. And we come in here and said, boys, I need it. I need this. I need that. So we hit our knees and prayed and preached and prayed a while. I guarantee you it done you some good too, didn't it, Ben? I guarantee you, man. Listen, some of you guys just come up here. You say, well, I need my sleep. Well, we do. But I tell you what, we need more. We need the Lord. We need the Lord's protection on our family, on our home. It's going to take God to keep the demons off your kids and the demons off your wife. The demons off of you. Lord have mercy. We're living in that day. We're living in that day. The battle is on the mind. The devil's going to come to you wives. And he's going to say, you don't love your husband no more. Why don't you just leave him? He'll probably tell 90% of you wives in here that one time this year. He knows where your weakness is. You say, well, the Lord wants me happy. I'll tell you what, the Lord wants you more than happy. He wants you holy. You can't find the Bible where God wants you to be happy. God wants you to be holy. Amen.
Amen.
Now the devil will work on you like that. That is a seducing spirit from hell.
Amen.
And it's the same thing to work on you guys.
Amen.
The devil say, you guys are not happy. You live so long for yourself. Why don't you just run off and start your own life in Florida or somewhere? You know, I've had a lot of people tell me that. They'll say, well, Brother Danny, I just feel like God wants me to do this. And if it's against Scripture, it ain't God wanting you to do it.
Amen.
Me, you, nobody else.
Yes.
Amen. Seducing spirits.
Amen.
I'm working on a little thing. I ain't got nothing together on it yet, but I'm going to make you a skit one of these days and illustrate. If I could, I'd like to make a movie and show you how demons work on people. He'll tell you girls in school. He'll get your attitude rotten because some girl got your boyfriend. And you say, I don't like her. And you'll get all your friends not to like her. And then there'll be a division in the youth group when she ought to be your favorite person in the world for taking that nerd off of you. You ought to write her a thank you card, that lady. If you had any brains, that's what you do. Amen. Thank you, sister. I love you for so much for getting that idiot away from me. See, the devil's got you blinded. You can't see it. Travel and knowledge. Well, good night, y'all. There'll be black ice out there the time I get through this. I tell you what, if you need to leave, go ahead. You won't hurt my feelings. I've been treated like dirt before. No. You apologize Sunday and I'll forgive you. I got a lot of forgiveness in my heart. I'll forgive you. You tell me you're sorry, I'll forgive you. Amen. Turn to Amos chapter 9 right quick and we'll get that number 4 right quick. And I'll hurry if you'll hurry with me tonight. Amos chapter number 9. And that's one of those little books there right before the end of the Old Testament. Amos chapter number 9. I'm going to preach a message on them seducing spirits maybe one of these days, so y'all need to watch them things. Just because something pops in your head don't mean it's the Lord. Amos 9:15. The nation of Israel. Listen to this last verse of the book of Amos. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. The nation of Israel. Now let me talk to you plain just a second. Did you know what tonight, ladies and gentlemen? Did you know this evening that the nation of Israel is a sign? God said, I'll take them all over the world and I'm going to plant them right back where I had them start with in my land! In my land! In 1948, not 18, not 17, not 15, 16, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9. All them hundreds of years went by and the nation of Israel scattered all over the world and they started coming back from over here, from over there. God started putting it in them lost Jews' heart to go back to Israel. And May of 1948, the flag went up Israel became a nation again for the first time in hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And God said, when that happens, it's about over with. This generation shall not pass. You know what 1948 is to 1998? 50 years. That's done over. And there's a lot of debate on what a generation is in the Bible. It can go anywhere from 40 to 100, a little over 100. But I'll tell you one thing. The Lord said, this generation shall not pass. That's a promise from God till everything's fulfilled. Yes, the Lord said He's going to fix everything right. The same generation that Israel went back to their homeland. Yeah. And that happened in 1948. Yeah. Did you know that when the prophets preached, this off the subject, but you know, when them old-timey preachers preached in 1890 and 1880, they'd stand in churches and they'd get up and say, one day, two prophets will stand in the streets of Jerusalem and preach, and they're going to be killed, and the whole world is going to see them. And people laughed at them. They laughed at them. They said, that's impossible. Nobody don't laugh at that now, do they? A satellite TV and the whole world can watch it now. God always lets the inventions come out just in time to fulfill the prophecy. Sure He does. I ain't got time to get along with that, but look at here. Israel in the Bible is the fig tree nation. And Israel put forth its leaves and bud in 1948. Now, number three is the one I just showed you, so we'll not take time to go there, is demon spirits. Somebody told me the other day, I talked to a man the other day, right out here in the parking lot. I didn't know people was that scripturally dumb around here. I talked to him out there in the parking lot. He said, you don't really believe that people can be demon possessed in this generation, do you? I said, yes, sir. I don't only believe it. I believe there's more people demon possessed now than there's ever been. When I went to Haiti nearly 20 years ago, there are people down there that are in black magic and voodoo. And the demon, when you go to these other countries, demonic activity is a whole lot more out in the open and evident and invisible than it is here in America, where people are heathen. And these demons, we seen a guy sitting beside a telephone pole like this, and he had a sheet over his head, and he's sitting there like this. And I said, what's the matter with him? And they said, he's in a trance. And he's a voodoo guy in a trance, a demon, and he'd been sitting there for 3 days, not moving. They have these voodoo dolls. And they'll take this, they're going to do this rock. And they'll say, that's a voodoo doll, and it's a picture of you, and they'll want to stab it. Watch me drop it. But they'll stab it. And that's supposed to hurt you when they stab darts and pins and stuff into that. And I don't know if that's true or not, but I know one thing. Them demons can bother you. Demons are real. Don't you doubt it for a second. Don't you sit there and think, you know what the devil's done? The devil come out with these cute little movies like The Exorcist and like The Omen and like Rosemary's Baby and all these demon movies to make people think, ah, that stuff's not true. Every old Hollywood movie nowadays has a demon popping out of a guy's stomach. And you know, he's standing there and his eyes turn red and his head spins round, round, round on his body and a dog's head comes out of his body or something. Now listen, that's not true, but that's a picture spiritually of what is true and what is going on. There are people walking around with things just like that on the inside of them. You just can't see it. They're spirits. A demon is a disembodied spirit looking for a body to inhabit. And they love to get in a human body. That's their favorite place to live. And if they can't take a human body, they'll get an animal. You say, where do you get that? Out of the Bible. Read it. Read it instead of watching so many documentaries. Read it. When they got out of that man, they wanted to go and get in them pigs, brother. The pig jumped off the cliff and committed homicide. As soon as them demons got in. Demons come out soaking wet, stuck up a sign and said, the Church of Christ meets here. Water saves. Her 17-year-old girl said,
She's riding in a car with a bunch of friends listening to rock music. She's listening to a song by Prince called "Will You Die For Me?" And she said, 17 years old, she said, suddenly there was a presence came in that car. And whatever that was in that car said, "Just die. Let's just all die." And they all started saying, "Let's die. Let's die. Let's die." And they said, the driver said, "Okay, I'm going to hit this bridge up here." And they was flying out. And they was all willing and ready to die. Something come in that car and made. Have you ever noticed you start fooling around and joking around like you're going to shoot yourself or playing over a head, and all of a sudden something just slips up beside you and says, "Go ahead." What is that? Who is that? That's spooky, man. You ever start sitting around? Some of them, little girl went home with us the other night, spent the night. There's three or four of them spent the night down there at the Watson House service. Little curly headed girl about that high. She's about 11, 12. How old was she, Laurie? About 11, 10, like that. She got in there. I was taking her up there and went up to Hoppy Tom, and I said, "Now listen, there's scary people around here." And she said, "Oh, you're not scaring me, Brother Danny." I said, "There's dead people come back to life. And they walk up and down Hoppy Tom." And she said, "Ooh," she started doing like this then. I said, "They've been dead for years." And I was just kidding around with her, you know. I said, "Have you ever heard my 'I Want My Big Toe'?" I told all the kids in the youth choir about "I Want My Big Toe." They said, "Oh, I've heard 'I Want My Big Toe.'" I said, "Yeah, but have you ever heard 'I Want My Big Toe Part 2? It's scarier than the first 'I Want My Big Toe.'" Some of y'all looking funny. You never heard 'I Want My Big Toe'? How many of you have never heard 'I Want My'? Lord have mercy. How about everybody? You ain't never heard 'I Want My Big Toe,' Brother Bruce? So will you tell him that when you get home tonight? He'll be scared to death. He'll be... I've got your curiosity up now. Might as well go ahead and tell him. No, I ain't going to waste preaching time telling you 'I Want My Big Toe.' But anyway, I got to tell her that. And I said, "There's scary people in here. They come back from dead." And two or three of them was in the kitchen there. And it was about 3:30 in the morning. And about that time, Ernie come walking around there, and they said, "Who is that?" He come down and spent the night with me. He come walking through there and said, "Who's that?" And I said, "That's one of them dead people." I said, "He's come back from the dead." And that girl started going, "Hoo, hoo, hoo." And you know what? I kind of went overboard there, because the more I started talking, I started feeling the devil in there. You start talking about it, it'll show up. Amen? That's why you sit around and start telling scary stories, and it won't be long. Every one of you be scared to go to bed and turn the light out. And I'm not scared of the dark. I'm not. Tell you the truth, I can't stand the light on in the house. When I want to go to sleep, I want it pitch dark, don't you? That's what I like. I ain't one of these people who's got to have 15 lights on in the house. I like it. I'm not scared a bit of the dark. But there's been times when I was there by myself or something. I mean, it was just me and Chris and Corey there or something years ago, and I wouldn't be scared, but if they was gone, you know, like they're going to really protect me. You think you hear something outside, and then you start thinking. First thing you know, man, you're scared to death. Remember when that crazy woman was chasing us around and was trying, everybody thought she was going to kidnap my kids? I ain't going to name no names, but y'all remember that 2 years ago? That was awful. And every time Chris and Corey's about that high, and every time one of them would go out of here, there'd be about six women go chasing them out in the hallway, trying to keep her from abducting them or whatever she was going to do. She followed me out in the parking lot. She'd walk out in front of the parking lot out there where I parked, back and forth like this, all day long on Sunday, right in front of my parking place. One day she came up to the car out there and she said, "Why are you keeping my kids from me?" I said, "Because they ain't yours." And I rolled my window down by that park. And she was weird, man. She was weird. She had problems. And one night we went home, me and the girl, and the back door was open. It was real late. We went in there, me and Carrie. You remember that? She's embarrassed, but I'm going to tell anyway. She said, "Daddy." She grabbed my arm. She said, "Daddy, somebody's in here." I said, "Carrie, we probably just didn't get the door closed. Probably just didn't get it closed, you know, and it just fell open while we was gone." She said, "Daddy, somebody's in here." We looked up there, and sure enough, up there in the bank behind it was a cup and a bag like from McDonald's or something, just laying there. Maybe they are somebody. They sit up there and eat. We told Chris and Corey to wait for a minute. Here goes me and Carrie through the house. She held on my arm all the way through there like that. And the more she got scared, the more I got scared, man. I was scared there. I just know somebody's just going to jump out and kill us. So I went in the kitchen and got a butcher knife. I got the biggest knife I could find. Feel stupid now saying it, but at the time, I had a butcher knife that long, son, and we started going through the house. Every room, I'd open the closet door and do like that. Nothing in there. Whoops, sir, look under the bed, take that butcher knife like that. I said, if she steps up behind here, I'm just going to stab her. But there wasn't nothing in there. I don't know if they ever was or not, but there's something about, that's why those scary movies are popular. You go to them scary movies and stuff, it won't be long, them demons will be hanging around you. They'll be hanging around you. And that's why them people, kids about killed. You say, well, what happened to them kids that was going to kill themselves in that car, preacher? The song ended and they got control of themselves. That's why rock music, you know rock and rolls are the devil, kids. Because spirits start messing with your mind and telling you to do stuff that you don't know, you know you ain't supposed to be doing. And music, listen to me, music breaks down your resistance. Kids do stuff listening to music they'd never do without it. It just gives you. My wife used to tell me, she said when she listened to rock and roll before she got saved, and a little while after she got saved, and she said when them songs would come on there, it makes you just want to drive fast, you know, roll the window down, wave at people. It gives you the attitude of everything's all right, there are no problems in the world. Live it up! That's not a big time. That's a demon spirit telling you that. Life is serious. Life is no joke. Everything ain't all right. World's going to hell 90 miles an hour. Amen. It's time we took it serious. Demon spirits everywhere. The rock singer said from AC/DC, when I go on stage, I get possessed. I get possessed. And they don't even believe the Bible. I told you about when I was preaching down in South Carolina. Guy told me, his wife told me, she said, preacher, I was demon possessed before I got saved. And I said, really? She said, yeah. And I said, yeah, well, okay, you know. I usually just brush it off when somebody says something like that. And she said, before I got saved, I said, well, how do you know you're demon possessed? And she told me a bunch of stuff that happened. Like some of them stories Danny Tucker told me. He said he had pinched Kelly and her sitting on the other side of the room. Didn't he say that? That's what he told me. He said it's the truth. Turn the TV off and all kind of stuff, man. I mean, that ain't normal power. Amen? Right, buddy. Ain't nothing to mess around with. And she told me, I said, did you ever fool around with a cult before you got saved? She said, yeah, I've done tarot cards and Ouija boards and all kind of stuff. And my grandmother was into witchcraft. And I said, oh, boy. And this boy, her husband, I said, do you ever see anything here? And he said, no, but he said, I can smell them. I told you about that to you, brother. He said, they smell like sulfur, like rotten eggs when they come in our room at night. And she said, one night this kids in the living room full asleep, and she said they was praying, and she said them demons come in her room and said, I'm going to get you. And she said, you can't have me. I belong to Jesus. And the demon said, okay, we'll get your kids. And he left, and she said, okay, they're gone. And then she thought, and she said him and her ran down the hallway, the living double-eyed trailer, and ran there, and her kids was asleep in the living room floor, laying there, and they just began to jerk and tremble all over that floor. And they had to pray and ask God to get those spirits out of there. Remember that story in the Bible? All you parents listen to this. Remember that story in the Bible? You girls listening to me? Everybody listening? You fool around with demons. When you're a teenager and you're fooling around with sex and you're fooling around with rock and roll music, you are opening doors to demons in your life. You listening? That's how demons get in you. One of these days you're going to want it out and you can't get it out. Buddy, the Bible says that this man brought his kid for the disciples, and they couldn't cast the demon out of him. And they said, when did this thing get in your kid? And it said, of a child. Of a child. You think a child can't be demon possessed? You better read your book again, bud. If you don't believe kids can be demon possessed, come to school a day or two. Little kids. And I mean, we got a Christian school. You go to public school, you'll believe in it before half a day's over. Kids. Oh, little old precious little innocent children. In the Bible, he said, of a child. Of a child. Of a child. And the astronauts are getting ready to take off. I'm just going to give you these two, and I'll. The last, number two would have been, that was number three. Number two is corruption of religion. The breakdown of religion. Being a Christian don't mean much anymore. Everybody's saved. Amen? Matter of fact, they're blending all religions into one now to where they all lead to the same place. And that is all this unity stuff and breaking down the walls and let's all get together and forget our differences, that ain't a work of God, people. That is not a work of God. We're supposed to be separated. Separated! I don't mean be a bunch of smart alecks and think you're better than everybody. Lordy mercy, man, you can't just embrace everything in the world and say, well, we differ on a few things, but we're all going the same place. That ain't what the Bible says. And then the last one, I'm through. Is wickedness waxing worse? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. He said, wickedness shall wax worse and worse. Ain't going to be no worldwide revival. It ain't going to happen. It's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. I heard about a party out there they had in California where they cut the baby's eyes out. On his own drugs, took a razor blade and cut its eyes out. They bake them in microwaves. 22-month-old baby beat, stabbed, molested. Police broke in a place in Dallas, Texas where a pornography ring. Just busted and put it out of business. And they got these little kids there being used in pornography. And they got one out of there 18 months old and already had a sexually transmitted disease. 18 months old and said grown officers would sit there and cry. That had seen blood, car wreck, murders, everything. Sat down there and bawl of what's going on. I can't even tell you. You've heard it. I mean, good night, you've seen on TV all this stuff, what goes on in prisons and juvenile centers and these other countries. You talk about wickedness waxing worse. We're seeing it. We're seeing the countdown, people. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.